music radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
Rick Adams is on.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are back on this once-a-week Saturday excursion with Republic Broadcasting Network, and we implore you, we certainly ask you to support us, to support the network, and to support what we have here, this oasis in the desert, as I call it. A desert that is barren and devoid of any meaningful, intelligent life on this planet. We have it here. We don't have everything you like, obviously, but there's enough of it to show you the difference. As Joe Church always says, he said, Rick, it's the only game in town. Well, it is. And I thank Joe Church for helping me and joining with me on the last week and a half, a week or two, second hour of 2 weeks ago, and the last week, 2 hours of telling you more and more about what to watch for in terms of the children of Cain and how they operate and what they're going to do to America and the world. Well, folks, we're seeing a little sample of it now, and they're doing it because they're doing God's will, the Father's will. Yes, he's using the evil ones to punish his children, as we learned. We learn these things from Scripture. We learn it in Leviticus, for example. You know, I went back to the book of Leviticus after some of the events. I call them partially scripted events of this past week in Washington. And we'll get into that in the first hour. And I have some very special, link in the second hour or the first, maybe the end of the first. We have time. On the Scofield Bible, and Dr. Scofield, who and what he was, this man who was responsible for the sowing of the seeds of corruption of the Word of God. And you know, you don't add to or subtract from the prophecies or the Word itself. And boy, let me tell you, if anybody ever did, it was Cyrus Ingerson Scofield, the great doctor, ex-con, lawyer, attorney. Need I give him more strikes? Well, we're going to hear about that. You be sure to listen, folks, because now it's more critical than at any other time in our history. This is the generation of the what? The evil fig tree planted in Jerusalem in 1948. That 70-year-plus generation coming to an end, coming to a terminus. So in Leviticus, you know, chapter 26, similarly to Deuteronomy 28, I was reading, for instance, in verse 6, what God promises. You know, God always keeps his promises. And what he promised the Israelite people, the Hibernium, you know, the Hebrews, what he would give them if they obeyed his laws, his statutes, his ordinances, and did what he asked them to do. He says, and I will give peace in the land. Can you imagine that? I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Does that sound like America today? I don't think so. And he said, I will rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall, the sword go through your land. You won't have an invasion. You won't have a takeover. You won't have a violent enemy subduing you. Not if you obey me. And then in 7, he says, and it goes on and on and on in this Leviticus 26. These are the blessings now. And he says, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 1,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Well, it looks like today we've met the enemy, and he is us. And the tangible enemies that are coming in, that are here already, the enemy in our midst, the enemy within, is succeeding in punishing us. So he makes that very clear. And if we skip down to verses like 22 onward, he talks about the curses. He talks about the curses. In 21, he says, and if ye walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times, that's his number, 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send the wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number. And your highways shall be desolate. 23. And if ye will not be reformed by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. I'll bring a sword upon thee that will avenge the quarrel of my covenant. You know, he made a covenant with his people. But in that covenant, he talks about judgment and reaping what you've sown. He wouldn't be a righteous, true God if he didn't do that. And so he says, when ye are gathered together, he says, within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the land or hand of the enemy. 26, verse 26 of Leviticus 26. And when I have broken the staff of your broad 10 women, of your bread 10 women, then shall all bake you bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. You'll be starving. All of these things I will send you, and I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies, which dwell therein in our land, shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw you out a sword, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities laid to waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it liveth desolate. Sabbath, day of rest and restitution. And then at the very end, of course, he tells us what will befall us in the very end. These are statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of true Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. He says he's going to return whatever is sent to him. Disobedience, insolence, well, you're going to receive 7 times that judgment. And now, folks, if anybody still doesn't believe and still doesn't get it, well, obviously they're not meant to. I've been talking about it for many years. In fact, right from the beginning of these programs, I've been talking about it locally, local radio, talking about it here at RBN? Few would listen. We were living in relatively peaceful times. We were living in relatively good times in America. And I say relatively speaking. There is no absolute there. But for the most part, our problems were manageable. They were surmountable. They were livable. Now, they are not. I talked to a woman the other day. You know, her husband and I were very close friends. He's a great guy and everything. And, you know, Joe, his name is Joe, and her name is Marianne. And they're always fighting anyway. I mean, she was at his throat. He was at her throat. Finally, he had a number of ailments. Finally, I guess 71 years old, he died of an aneurysm that burst. And she now is all alone. She's got MS. She doesn't want any help from the state or government or anything. She wants to be independent, but she falls a lot. She has problems, and obviously, and she lives alone, basically. She's all alone. She has no family, no extended family, no one to bequeath to in her will. So, you know, she's made other plans, but she told me, because she follows this crap. She loves this stuff on TV. And I don't, watching all this garbage and all the networks, the fighting, the screaming, what's going on with Pelosi, what's going on with Schumer, what's going on with McConnell, what's going on with McCarthy, all of them. And she always got a kick out. I said, why do you watch it? She said, I find it entertaining and amusing. Now she told me the other day, I'm scared. I really am scared. And I said, why? And so, you know, she said, I think it's coming. I said, I know it's coming. And I told her, be careful, watch the next 6 months. And she said, why, what's going to happen? And I says, I don't know. But I do know this, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Whether Mr. Trump, by the way, was in office or not, has nothing to do with Mr. Trump. And I keep telling you over and over and over again, those that control America, God's judgment rod against true Israel upon our land, God will use them to bring havoc, and he'll bring destruction. He'll bring, war. He'll bring all these things upon this land. And he will do it because he's just. And all he wants, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people who are called by my name will repent of their sins and return unto me and hearken unto me, I will heal their land. I will give them rest. I will restore them in all that I've given them. If they will do it. Are they doing it now? I said last week, I think, with Joe, we were talking about how we're looking to the government. We're looking to Big Brother. We're looking to Big Papa to be our God. We've been doing that now since the 1930s. And we reaped the Dust Bowl. We reaped kinds of economic havoc. And I guess the God of this world isn't delivering anymore, huh? 100-something years of fake currency, fiat currency, at last coming to an end, just as we had predicted. It's all coming to a terminus point. We warned you, we spoke about it, and now it is at last coming to pass. At last coming to pass. The final days, I told her, lie just ahead. And she said, I'm really scared. I said, well, a lot of people are frightened and scared. Because it's not going to be a very pleasant thing. It's not going to be something that, you know, is going to be nonviolent, or is going to be wholesome, is going to be livable. It's going to be an unlivable hell in America when the day hits, the day of judgment. But there's more to come after that. And God's redemption will take place at the very end when we see forces of, we see Gog and Magog, you know, Haman Goggin and Russia, China, all gang up on the United States. And he made a covenant with his people, Israel, despite how wicked they are, how evil we've become, how disobedient, is that he wants us to return to him. And the only way we can do it is one by one, by repentance and by overseeing the words that he gave us, rather than discarding them like all of your secular media will do. They don't even come into the mix, the word of God, priestly things, scripture. Oh, we've got the Reverend King's holiday coming up, though, in another week and 2 days. The Reverend Dr. King. And, of course, he is the be-all, end-all of peace and safety. Man that David Garrow said in his book, used to fling women across walls, bang them across the walls and smash their heads in and to get on the bed. And, you know, he would use them. He would exploit them. A man of degenerate instincts and lusts. As Julia Ward Brown, the black undercover agent, says, the greatest enemy of my people. But the media will be, you watch, they'll be talking about Dr. King's dream and Trump. This will be just before January 20th, another, 11 days or so. And they will be telling you how wonderful that picture of Dr. King was, his peace and safety dream for America, and how the trumpeteers, and how you, the American people, have to, you whites especially, have done so much evil, and you've torn this nation apart. I like what was quoted, if it's true, and I don't know if it's true, but the Supreme Judicial High Spiritual Leader of Iran has said that America is reaping, this is what he's quoted as saying, that America is reaping God's wrath and anger because of what it has done, and interventionism, and all of this meddling in our affairs with no reason or justification. You know, I sort of like couldn't condemn that. I sort of like felt this was a logical thing to say. It was a biblical thing to say. Even though they're Muslim, hey, they're not wrong. You know, it doesn't matter. If a broken clock is a broken clock, they're right twice a day. And in this case, he was right. You're getting what you've got coming. Not necessarily for all the right reasons, but certainly judgment is upon the land. And so we saw what happened this past week, or I didn't watch much of it. I'll be honest. You know, I hate these things. I hate to follow what's being projected in front of us on January 6th by the media. I looked at CNN for a couple of moments and got rid of that fast, and I just, you know, went around the bend and looked here and looked there to see what the media was trying to tell us. And usually I invariably settle on the National Baloney Company at night because it leads the way in standard over-the-air propaganda and never disappointing me, never deviating from the narrative. Immediately, the Trump supporters brought violence and terror and invasion, sedition, to Washington immediately. Well, here we go again. And as you survey what took place, we still don't know anything compared to what we need to know, because what we're being spoon-fed is nothing more than little tidbits of data. I'm going to call it information or disinformation, by the intel, by the police in Washington, by the Capitol Hill police, by the FBI. All of these arrests and so forth don't amount to anything if, in fact, they're false. So we don't know anything. We don't know who was involved in this melee, which tore up parts of Washington, the Capitol Mall, into the Congress, and why there was an open access to get into the building. You know, I found it amusing to see some of the congressmen and senators hiding and running, you know, like ducking for cover. And I saw my senator, I hate to say that, but Sheldon Whitehouse, I saw him hiding and running and everything. And Jack Reed, the senator from Rhode Island, and of course we have a congressman who's in a wheelchair, so he really couldn't run. But he could wheel away, or he whisked away, you see, through safety. Disgusting, the whole lot of it. We'll be right back with more.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And we're back now, ladies and gentlemen, and I do want to continue on this line. I have much more to say about it, and I think Art may be joining us a little bit later today, so we'll get it all in. There'll be a lot to cover. But I understand that my board op here, Ken, has confessed that he was there. He was in a black helicopter. No, he was on the ground visiting Washington during the time of the melee. And, Ken, if you're able to come on and talk to us for a couple of minutes, would you join me and tell me, were you really there in person, in the flesh, and why? What did you go for?
So I met my brother there in Baltimore.
Go ahead, Ken. Are you there?
Oh.
See if, oh, he's hiding now. He's
no.
Hiding.
I had to give my
feet
to you.
All right,
yeah,
we got him out of the bed. We got him out from under the bed. Ken, you were there January 6th, this past week?
Yes, sir. We
Were you in the Capitol Mall?
Yes. Yeah, so I flew
there. All right,
tell
us what was going on. Why did you go, first of all?
Okay, so I wanted to go with my brother because we had gone to a Trump rally together before and had a lot of fun. So I flew to Baltimore, and he did too, from Louisville, and we rented a car, and we went to – We got a hotel in Virginia that's just on the other side of the Potomac River.
Yep, yep.
Alexandria, I guess it is, maybe. Something. Anyway.
Yeah, it's right over the
right over the
Potomac.
So we stayed at the Hyatt, and then we decided the next morning we were just going to walk. So we walked across the Potomac, and then, you know, it's just a really long – it's about a 5-mile walk from the hotel all the way through Washington, D.C., down to the Capitol. So what happened was we walked over there, and then we got to the area where, you know, Trump was going to speak, and there was, you know, there had to be over a million people around there. And we walked around and looked at everything, you know, the Washington Monument and the World War II thing and the big reflecting pool and the White House. You couldn't really see the White House too good because it was kind of blocked off. But so we went down there. There was lots of people. Everybody was super friendly. Everybody was really nice. You didn't feel, you know, like there was anybody there that was going to cause a problem. And Trump gave his speech, and, I mean, it was just like a sea of people. And so after he got done, we kind of, you know, walked over there. Some other people had already gone and stuff, and we walked down there, and it was still pretty far. Walked down to the, I guess it's the Congress. And when we got down in front of it, and maybe this was the backside, but this is where you see, if you saw a video of people climbing up the wall, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So it was that side. So there's a big yard, maybe it's 100 yards or 150 yards of grass between the street and that area. And we were at the street corner, standing in line to get some food from a food truck. Mm-hmm. And we were there about 30 minutes, and we saw a lot of people over there. But while we were there, after about 10 minutes, we heard some bangs and then saw some smoke, like maybe it was tear gas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then sirens were going off, and cars were coming by, and, you know, black Suburbans and stuff like that, and they were driving fast. So we were wondering what was going on, and nobody, you know, most of the people were still just walking around because nobody really knew what was happening. And then there was a phone alert that came on, you know, the cell phone that said the mayor had, you know, called an emergency and there was a curfew and, you know, you had to be in by 6 off the street. So it was 4:30, and so we decided just to kind of walk back. And so we just walked back, and like I said, there was tons of people and everybody was super friendly. So, you know, I didn't see any rabble-rousers anywhere. I mean, it would be almost like you were in church or something. I'm not saying it was.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, as far as feeling safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the deportment of the crowd. Did you sense that in that crowd there could have been agents provocateur, maybe government agents or Black Lives Matter or the Soros camp, you know, any of those people that, you know, Antifa and so forth, that were just waiting for an opportunity to pose as Trump supporters and pull something?
So I did see one group that was probably, you know, 15 or 20 guys, something like that, and they were in a formation and they were marching and they had, you know, kind of matching outfits. Mm-hmm. And I think they may have been the guys that, if you, because there'll be a lot more video coming out, but I've already seen it. And I think it's the same guys. They didn't look like Antifa. They were like professional soldier types. You know, they were.
What were they doing?
They were marching. Well, I saw them marching, and then later on video, I saw they had on orange hats. All of them had matching orange hats, and they were the ones up by the barricades. And they started pushing the barricades and punching the cops and stuff. So these guys and these military-like dudes, and they all had masks on too, which is weird because most of the people there weren't wearing masks, okay? Like, I wasn't wearing a mask. Most people didn't wear a mask. I'd say 1 out of 10 people wore a mask. And these guys all, the military guys, had masks. But so then they punched the cops and pushed the rails back and hit them and stuff. But then they all left. They didn't go inside.
Yeah.
Now, I saw that on video. I didn't see that with my own eyes, but I was there.
Right, right. That's interesting, though, because when you get that many people together, whether it's 50,000, a million, 2 million, as some were claiming, it really isn't even that important. What's important is who knows who goes, you know, who's there. And as you know, and I know, that the enemies of freedom, the enemies of our people, what they usually do, they're adept at it, you know, the Kenites especially, is dressing in garb, dressing in vestments of those that are our enemies, and then blaming it on them, like they've done this many, many times in the Middle East with Syria. They've done this with Iran and so on and so forth. And before you know it, wow, the impression's on the mind. Look at those Arab terrorists. Look at those ISIS terrorists. And meanwhile, it might very well not have been them at all, but those who claim to be Judah and do lie. So, you know, by way of deception, we do war. That's why I'm asking how many of these people we don't know. And whether we'll really have a total investigation, Ken, is anybody's guess. But, Congress is not interested, for the most part, in any factual conclusions. If they were, they would have investigated a lot of corruption inside this government years ago. And they had their chance, and they blew it. So, I don't hold my breath. But I will say that the narrative that's being painted, like I said, I never voted for Trump. I was never involved in this process, okay? I have no horse in this race. But it's a matter of fairness. It's a matter of truth. And what's happening now is this narrative, this mantra, this construct, if you will, that is leading up to something bigger. Don't you just feel that, like, this is a trial run, the violence we've seen as to what will come down the pike?
It probably is, but I'll tell you this, too. I almost guarantee you that if you ask anybody who went to it what they thought of the crowd there, they'd say the same thing I just said, that everybody was really nice.
I've heard a few people locally here.
Yeah.
I don't think they were there, none of the people I talked to, but they also said to me that that's not the Trump supporters doing anything like that.
No.
It's somebody else claiming to be, or the media is claiming them to be Trumpites.
Well,
you know?
they've already verified they arrested some Antifa people, and then other ones have been ID'd with facial recognition.
Yeah.
And I heard there was a whole bus or two of them that showed up.
Well, they're always there in the right place at the right time. And anything for another, media grab, you know, for another opportunity for them to be in the media and to paint this picture of us, of Americans, as a bunch of rough, you know, tough rednecks and trying to destroy America and bring all of these evil acts of terror to the country. And nothing could be further from the truth.
The mood was...
But then again, that's the corrupt...
Yeah.
Media.
Yeah, the
and
mood
that's
was
the
completely.
They want to convey.
It was completely the opposite of what they're saying on the news. You know, a bunch of, it's the exact opposite. 180.
It usually is. It usually is. Thank you, Ken, for this little interlude here and this on-site report. I appreciate you telling us this. Thank you very much. Very good.
You're
all
welcome.
Right, so folks, you heard it from one of the horses' mouths here, Ken, who is there. And like I say, I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. I'm trying to pay more attention to the fallout and what others are saying. I noticed that the ADL, you go on their website, I want to see what they have to say. And they usually have the same manure to say about how terrible this racist, anti-Semitic country has become, and it's growing out of control. Here's an example of what they say, okay? ADL.org, extremism at the Capitol. This is their latest story. Extremism and anti-Semitism at the U.S. Capitol. And all they say is the ADL has been monitoring extremist rhetoric surrounding the violence that erupted Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol. We have published a number of pieces Didn't take them long, huh? About what's the going on, the ongoing displays of anti-Semitism, right-wing extremism, and the masterminds of hate, the masterminding of hate. That's what they call it, hate. And nobody really exhibits more hatred, I must say, than the ADL. Everything they say is kind of venomous and poisonous and accusatory against any one of you. You don't have to be white. It could be black patriots, and there are plenty of black patriots out there, or Hispanic. And as you know, a number of Hispanics voted in number for Trump over what's his name again, Biden? I can't even remember his name. I mean, I just want to forget him. But anyway, what you saw is an example of how the media corrupt the mind. He who owns the media owns the mind. And the ADL is very concerned. They have a number of articles. How tech, now this is very important. These are some of the posts that you can access. How these tech companies, okay, still support hate. They haven't done enough to take down your posts and my posts on Rick Adams' Facebook page to pull them off. They're not doing enough. How about their hatred? How about their hatred of Islam? How about their hatred of Christianity? How about their hatred of Christ? How about their hatred of God? How about their hatred of America? Extremists react to pro-Trump siege on the Capitol. Anti-Semites are implicated, and they're implicating Jews and Zionists and all kinds of others of us who are peaceful people. The ADL calls on Twitter to suspend the accounts of all of the support for QAnon. Now, QAnon, I don't believe it's real. From what I've seen of it, QAnon is a front for the CIA Mossad. So there you go. There's the matrix. They're bad, and we got to nip them in the bud. And who are the ones that are pulling the strings? They are. They create a dummy and then knock them down. This is how they operate. The ADL calls on Twitter, okay, to do all of these things. Extremists engage in political violence in pro-Trump rallies across America, too, you know, not just in Washington. The storming of the Capitol was predictable. Extremists and mainstream Trump supporters plan to protest congressional certification of Biden's victory. Now, you saw what happened probably in Arizona, where in Arizona, the delegates there were turning against the system. They protested the vote. Now, if Arizona's delegates, all of them or any of them, want to change their alliances and their allegiances, or their I should say their allegiances, all they have to do is just say so and cast their vote for anybody. They could cast their vote for Rick Adams, even though he wasn't on the ballot, and say Rick Adams should be president. They don't have to support Biden. They don't support anybody. Because of the system that's in place today is a politically contrived electoral college. It is not the original electoral college. It is not the lawful. It is not the legal electoral college. And that's my point. And that's why a direct vote on the part of the public, the population, is not good. We've had minority presidents before. Some of them were horrible. Some of them were good. In terms of the popular vote, I'm saying. That's why originally your state legislatures, before the 17th Amendment, were appointed. They were appointed by your state legislature, not voted in by the people. Why? To preserve a Republican form of government. That's why. And they hate that. The same mob, the ADL mob that gave us the income tax, the Federal Reserve, and the direct election of senators, were all working for that goal, to democratize the nation and therefore make it more culpable, more available, more susceptible to being corrupted by outside political influences. And that's exactly what has happened. That's precisely what happened since 1913. Buying the senators, putting them in office. We've got a couple of the dumbest senators, the worst senators of any state, Reid and Whitehouse. They're really nothing more than shills. And all you hear them do is say, I'm going to give you grants. We have sponsored legislation to bring grant money into the state. Grant money from whom? From what? From us. This is the basest of base elements of democracy. You see, democracy in an empire always must be destroyed from within. So then I went over to the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and looked at them. And they have what they call a hate map. Did you know that? They have a hate map. That's right. All hate groups are dangerous, and their beliefs or practices that attack or malign an entire class of people. Gee, that sounds familiar, what they've done, huh? What they themselves have done, their kinsmen, is absolutely horrifying. So if you go on the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center website, you'll see this hatred in the United States. Hate in the United States. Each year since 1990, the SPLC has published an annual census of hate groups operating within the United States. The number is a barometer, albeit only one. Number is a barometer. The level of activity in the country is far greater than that. The level of hate activity in the United States. The hate map, which we have posted here, which depicts the group's approximate locations, is the result of a year of monitoring by analysis and researchers, and is typically published every January or February. It represents activity by what they call hate groups in the United States during the previous year. So if you go on, you'll learn more about these hate groups and how they operate in the United States. And they're operating mostly now through the web. They're connecting to each other through the web. Some may have divergent interests, but they all preach hate, hate, hate. Now, I open up my Bible here, okay? I open up the Word of God. And you know what? I see hate. I do. I'm not trying to be hypocritical or flippant or jesting. I'm serious. This book is a book of hate, the Bible. People always said that. It is. God hates the wicked with an perfect hatred. Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. Now, that book, someday in America, you mark my words, is going to be under such attack that you will be hard-pressed to find access to it at some point, if they have their way, and if God permits it to get to that extent, where they will. And Abe Foxman himself, I saw him. He said that the New Testament, not only the New Testament, but he singled out the Christian New Testament as saying that that book is a book of hate, and particularly he hates the Gospel of John the beloved apostle. What did John say? John recorded the words of Jesus Christ when he told them in 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the Kenite said, what do you mean free? We have always been free. We have been in bondage to no man. Ah, anybody who is a studier of Scripture, anyone who is a student of the Bible, knows that that is a false statement. Right there. If they consider themselves to be Hebrews or Israelites, they are not. And that's the whole point. If you were, you would have been in bondage all the time. All the captivities going from Egypt to Assyria, you know, Sennacherib in Assyria. He was the main tyrant at that time. Babylon, of course, and Greece and Rome. All of these places were all captors of the Israelite people of God. But he said, we've never been in bondage. Why? Because they've been the wandering Canaanites, to and fro the earth like their father, deceiving and being deceived. So here it comes, folks. You want to know, what's a hate crime? What's a hate group? The Southern Poverty Law Center defines a hate group as an organization that's based, and that bases its official statements or principles and statements of its leaders or its activities, has beliefs or practices, sounds like the IRS manual, huh, that attack or malign an entire class of people. Now, doesn't that sound like the Israeli government? Doesn't that sound like the Zionist regime? Sure does to me. They don't mention that, though. They mention Louis Farrakhan, and they mention the Nation of Islam as hate groups. So they say typically for their own innumerable characteristics, that is, the targeted groups. We do not list individuals as hate groups, only organizations. Well, they've gone after people and named them as extremists. They use the word extremist. They've done it with everybody in the so-called identity movement, the Christian Identity CI. They've done it with even Chuck Baldwin and people like that, who only read essentially from God's word and then apply it. So they're really attacking Christ, what they're doing. They're really attacking Christianity, and they're attacking any other group, black, Hispanic, or whatever, that preaches what? Intolerance toward Zionism, supremacy, Jewish supremacy. If you target Jewish supremacy or Kenite supremacy, then you are invariably defined as a hate group. But they don't come out and say that. In fact, they don't mention very much about Israel either way. You are to conclude that they're just a nice, benevolent organization that propped up itself out of nowhere and came into being because they just hate hate. That's all. They just hate hate. And so out of the goodness of their heart, they came into being so that they could watch these hate groups and protect us from them. Isn't that nice of them? Of course, the first thing I see here, the very first thing I see if you go on their map, and same is true of the ADL, is please donate. Can you believe this? They haven't got enough of your money. Please donate so we can fight hate in America, all right? So you go on the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center website, you go on ADL, among others, then you can see what real hatred really is. Hatred not only of people and organizations and races, but hatred of the Constitution. You understand? That's what it's all about. They hate freedom. They hate liberty. They hate the Constitution. And then if we go, of course, to the Times of Israel, we see what they're saying. I told you this story about the supreme spiritual leader of Iran, saying that judgment is coming upon America. He's not wrong about that. They, of course, talk about the Democrats are set to begin impeachment Monday in the House. And as far as the Senate trial, it's unlikely, obviously, before Trump departs. That is, before time runs out. Now, I've been getting emails and stuff from people telling me, watch the next 11 days, watch what happens on Inauguration Day, watch this, watch that. What we saw in Washington the other day is a trial run, I believe. It's the forerunner of what certain elements in this and outside of this government want. They want a total subjugation of America, a civil war that is anything but civil, in order to bring her under the control of that synagogue of Satan. Of that synagogue of Satan. So So now, Pat Buchanan had an excellent column, I think, in the publications all across his, you know, his syndication of his column, dealing with it, actually dealing more with the Republican Party and the death thereof. This, I will say, was Trump's doing. He said it right from the beginning, that Trump served the purpose of an implosion, of bringing about destruction from within, and that more Republicans will lose because of Trump. Now, I'm not heralding the Republican Party. Don't get me wrong, folks. In no way am I doing that. I have always said there is no two-party system. They are the Republicans. And one stinks and the other smells. Either way, all we're getting is the same control grid from the synagogue of Satan. Those who profess they are one thing and are not. They are something entirely different. So, Nancy Pelosi does her thing, Chuck Schumer does his thing, and Mitch McConnell did his thing the other day, presiding over the Electoral College vote and on the 6th. And what he said proved to me he's nothing more than a bought and paid for, stupid, dumb politician who is nothing more than a shill for the power brokers who control his every move. Can you imagine what he said? That Arizona and Pennsylvania delegates, basically the states are rebelling. They don't want to be told what to do. This is Israel at war with itself. Some would go deeper. They'd say the Northern Kingdom against the Southern Kingdom, the new, civil war, if you will. Second major civil war. Alexander Dugin said it. He was quoted in Breitbart years ago, saying America would divide. It would divide. He called it into 10 regions. Well, whether it is 10 regional governments or not, we are seeing that very split up, that destruction of America. You see? And who's sitting on the sidelines laughing and giggling and setting us up for destruction? Why, of course, our best ally in the world, not the Middle East, but the whole world. And you know who that is. So Pat Buchanan was writing, and he was writing about the, you know, the election of Ossoff and Varnock, and the defeat of Loeffler and Perdue, basically. And really, from Georgia, when you consider it, how things have changed the South. The Southern Democrats were the great, great champions of much freedom, as far as I'm concerned. No, they weren't always right. No, I know they did some bad thing. But for the most part, they are what the Republican Party was supposed to be, and they did it. Larry McDonald, who was murdered on Flight 007 over the Sea of Japan in the 1980s, he sponsored legislation to overturn the Supreme Court's appellate jurisdiction in busing matters, school matters, and so forth, to free up communities. He wasn't racist about it at all. And he certainly was supported by a number of multiracial people in his district in Georgia. And so others did the same thing. You know, I can name a whole bunch of them now. Senator Allen, you know, you had John Stennis of Mississippi, you know, a whole group of people who were patriots. And they were Southern, I guess you would you call them Blue Dog Democrats or whatever. Now, the Republican Party today is the same party of Abe Lincoln, the same party of Karl Marx, the same party that betrayed their own. Joe McCarthy, Senator Taft, Barry Goldwater, they betrayed their own because they were serving the same beast system, the same criminal, terrorist elite, those who are claiming that hate is something they oppose while they exhibit it, you see? And that's some of my missive so far. That's some of it, folks, not all of what I had intended to say. And I said I have to come on and just do a little bit of an open the door, all-out conversation on what people are thinking about this past week. Frankly, I expected it to be a much bigger episode of violence. I expected to see cannons roaring, missiles striking buildings, all kinds of things, you know. And, of course, it didn't happen this time. But it will probably happen in the days ahead. So we need to be aware of that. And I think look to 11 days from now. We look to a bunch of people and organizations and CIA, Mossad, and so on and so forth. And we have to conclude that it ain't over yet, that we are in store for much more to come. I don't think any of us is deluded into thinking that that is not the case. It is the case, and we are going to see it envelop and metastasize like a cancer to the point where we will no longer recognize this country. We're not going to recognize her in the days ahead. Unrecognizable just from a few years ago. 10 years ago was bad enough during the Obama years, but today people could say, I can't believe I'm living in America. And it all goes back to what we were just saying, reading from Leviticus 26, and don't forget Deuteronomy 28. These are key prophecies as well as warnings given by God, which to me is beautiful, you know, because it tells us the accuracy of God's word. His word can be trusted. Very little else in this world can be trusted at all. But God's word is always, always on target. Always on target. He doesn't like disobedient children. And you know what father does? You think about it. What dad really likes to have to spank his kids? You know, but he has to occasionally. He has to give them a good wallop against the buttress, you know, because of what they're doing. They're insulting him. They're spitting in his face. And, you know, everybody's a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. We know that. But it hurts him. It hurts him like it would hurt your father when you did something against him. And it pained him and grieved him until you repented, until you came back and apologized. So think of it that way. Human father, divine father. You see, in the image of God, man was made. Now, there's a healthy doctor who died 2 weeks after getting, guess what, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccination. I'm sure you are all familiar with this story. 2 weeks after getting his first once dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, a 56-year-old doctor in South Florida died this past week. Now, that's only an exceptional thing. Lying Lester will tell you that. Don't believe all of the conspiracy theories of Rick Adams and all these other crackpots that will tell you you should be on guard. You should be concerned. If it can happen to 1, 2, 3, 4 here or there, it can happen to a lot more before it's over. It doesn't always happen right away. It's not always instantaneous. But the reaction of the poisons, of the toxemia that's put into your system, and your body is reacting to it, your immune system is defending itself, is pandemic. Pardon the pun. But it is a pandemic issue. So what do we hear? We hear calls that tell us that we need to enforce it. We need to punish those who will not be vaccinated. Punish them one way or another. Almost up on the halfway break, folks. But I do want to play you before Art comes on today. I want to play for you this missive, this great scholar, I think, one of the posters who managed to get on YouTube. And he talks about Dr. Schofield, why the church is beset with judgment today. We'll come right back. Hour number two, Rick Adams Uncensored. Stay with me.
Looking and waiting for a splash of sunshine. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.